Hey, Des.
Hi Greg, how's it going?
What's happening? You all right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Dan, how are you doing? I believe you owe me a message, Dan.
Oh, hey, I was connecting with some other guys. I was going to do that initial and then decided not to. I thought I was
Okay.
going to get back to you. My bad.
No problem. George, how are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. It's late night here, brother.
It's 8 a.m. here, so we're doing well.
Bamshi, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Like,
Nice
how are
to see
you?
your face.
Same here.
Lewis, Paul, how we doing?
Doing good, doing good. How about you?
I'm good, thank you, brother. Thompson, Mohammed, how we all doing?
Greg, sorry I missed your call today. I'm still in the
Still in the office by the looks of
Yeah, it's a bit crazy, so sorry about that.
That's all right, brother. Don't worry. We'll give everyone one more minute. Has anyone got any wins that they want to announce today? Anyone done anything particularly special over the past week that they want to share with the group? Weight loss, muscle gain, anything?
I got a continuous win. I'm just getting stronger and stronger every day. I'm hitting I'm maxing out every time. So I'm my numbers are going up, so I'm happy with that.
Lewis is a really interesting one, right? So he's, and it'll be an interesting one to use him today because as we talk about muscle growth, Lewis has been with me. It's been a long time, 18 months ish. No, a little bit less than that, but not far. And he's gone through phases of fat loss and muscle gain throughout the process. So we just got him back down to 12% after his most recent bulking phase. And he's probably sitting around 10, 11 pounds heavier than he was the last time he did it. So in he's put on about 11 pounds of muscle, and he's got a hell of a lot stronger in that time. So he's a really cool one. I might bring him in as we're going through this. Anyone else got any wins they want to put across? Andy, Andrew, you got anyone you want to call out?
I definitely could look in and call out a couple people. Keith is doing well. Keith's going to Costa Rica. See him walk in right now. So I know he's humble and he'll speak up and ask questions, but he normally doesn't pat himself on the back all the time. So he's kicking ass lately. So he's doing well.
Awesome, man. It'd be great to see you in Costa Rica. Just a heads up, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing a muscle camp at MI40 in Tampa in October. So it'll be October 18th and 19th, 2 days, Friday and Saturday. 9 until 4:30, just breaking for lunch, right? So you guys will go through two workouts each day. There'll be classroom education involved there as well. It's got a 24 people cap. If anyone's like, I know some of the guys here have been at muscle camps before. Vamshi was at one last year, and I'd say he'd back me up in saying it will take your training capability or what you think you can do to a whole nother level. So definitely worth it. If you can't make it to Costa Rica, or if you want to do both, let us know, because the one in Tampa will be amazing. It's in his gym, so it'll be the best equipment as well. Also, I have any additional questions. If you have any questions around what it looks like, or you need any more detail on that, don't hesitate. Reach out to Sarah. She's really, really helpful. She'll be able to give you any extra information that you might need. The price is based around just the camp. So like accommodation isn't accounted for in that, but I'm sure that Sarah's probably looking at places that she can organize for everybody as well. Jason Rogers, great. You'll love it. Anybody else interested in making it to Tampa? I know, Mohammed, you had mentioned it. Be great to see you there. And guys, just a heads up in terms of price for the 2 days, it'll be $1,000. It'll be worth it. In terms of taking your training capabilities and knowledge to the next level, there's, although like online training is really effective, sometimes being able to take people to limits that they don't possibly think they could have done before is a little bit more difficult. When, what is it called, the Hawthorne effect? If someone's actually sitting there watching you, particularly if it's Ben, believe me, you'll get three and four extra repetitions what you thought you could have. So it's definitely worth it. Okay. No one else want to shout out any wins before we get started? We good? All right. So like I said, today I want to take you guys through nutrition for muscle growth. A lot of you guys may have seen Ben's post that he put up, where he mentioned some of the more, I guess you could say, slightly nuanced parts of muscle growth. Sorry, I'll have to lose my presentation. And he mentioned, you know, around digestion, around sleep quality, stress reduction, inflammation, all those things. I'm not going to go through those today. Today, we're going to battle around a little bit more on macronutrients, meal timing, some of the more classical stuff around muscle growth, and whether you actually need to be in a surplus or not in order to achieve the goals you want with muscle growth. A lot of you guys will realize that, like, when you first started lifting weights, that you gained muscle relatively easily. As you become a little bit more long in the tooth in this game, you'll realize that it tends to be slower incremental gains. I want to give you a little bit of a thought process about what that should actually look like, though, because a lot of the times people go into it blindly. So they decide it's bulking time, they eat an excessive amount of calories, and they accumulate a hell of a lot of body fat. There is ways that you can track this. Remember, this isn't individualized to you, right? This is just going to be general stuff that we can talk about, and we can discuss anything more nuanced to you at the end. It's no problem. Or if you guys have questions throughout, don't hesitate to ask. So without further ado, let's get through it. I will be asking questions throughout, but if any of you guys have any questions for any of the stuff that I have up in front of me, don't hesitate. Put it in the chat. I'm more than happy to stop and answer any questions if you guys get confused. So when we look at muscle growth, it's a little bit different than when we think about fat loss. So fat loss is more of an energy balance, and it's more of an equation than muscle growth is. Muscle growth is more of a signaling process. So if you think about muscle loss, you generally have to consume less food than you're expending. However, with muscle growth, you can actually grow muscle when you're in a caloric deficit. So when you don't necessarily have loads of energy available. But we're going to talk today about when is optimal time for muscle growth. What's the best approach to it? Do you just have to eat excessive amounts of calories in order to do so? Or is it a little bit more nuanced than that? Initially, we're going to touch on a little info about the macros, though. So, like I said, we're going to touch on calories today, macros, and meal timing. We'll touch on supplements a little bit at the very end. But we'll touch on what other stuff some of these macronutrients do, because it gives a little bit of a better idea of why you distribute them the way you do when you're looking at muscle growth. Then we'll talk about which of the macronutrients is the most important for muscle gain. You guys probably know the answer, but we'll talk a little bit more about why. Then we'll talk about, do you, I, need to be in a surplus in order to gain muscle? So then we'll talk about, like, to bulk or not to bulk. Like, at what stages is it appropriate for you to go, right, now my goal is muscle growth? And not that that's not your goal throughout your time here with Muscle Intelligence. Of course it is. But it may not be the most important part of it initially. The most important part of it initially could be getting you metabolically flexible. It could be dropping body fat. And we're looking at as like a second or third tier is muscle growth. Then we'll talk about meal timing. And then we'll touch on supplements. And at the end, we'll kind of try, like, you won't see numbers here until the very end. We'll try and pull some numbers together based on the research. What's the most appropriate way for the average person to gain muscle mass? With the macronutrients, someone else is coming in. With the macronutrients, the reason why they tend to be pushed to higher levels than we would tend to see in standard nutrition, right? So you'll see in standard nutrition that the actual protein goal for general health is an awful lot lower than a lot of the protein targets that you guys are hitting. Most of you guys will be hitting somewhere around a gram of protein per pound of body weight. And that's not what's advised in general population. And a lot of the reason why we're going what might be looked at like excessively high is because muscle growth is a very energy demanding thing for the body to carry around. Because for the body to use protein, which is one of the like the primary substrate for muscle growth, it still has to use protein for all these other actions. So when we think about immune function, every immune cell within your body is made up of protein. And like, for example, if I get someone into me who's immunocompromised or has a long issue with chronic infection, one of the easiest things you can do with someone like that is to get them to increase their protein intake. Enzymes. So all the enzymes throughout your system are made of proteins. So like when we think about energy production, for example, we have a lot of different enzymes that speed up that process, and they are all built of proteins. Hormone production, collagen, elastin, maintaining proper pH, transport of molecules, and provides energy. We don't necessarily want it to provide energy, but it can. So understanding that protein has much more to do with other factors in the body, it's not just muscle growth. So when we need to look for the body to prioritize that, we needed to give it enough so that it can do all these other things, and then it can go, okay, I have spare, I can start to lay down or increase muscle fibers. And similar when you look at some of the other macronutrients. So when we look at fats, for example, like hormone production, cell membrane structure, immune function, inflammatory control, and not predominantly, one of the major things that it tends to do is it's a really important energy source. So we'll touch on this a little bit later, but if you have extra body fat or more than you possibly want, then that can be used as the extra energy needed to put on muscle. Okay, so these fat and protein seem to do multiple different things other than just the things that we standardly think about with them. Now, then when you get to carbohydrates, but people will look at carbohydrates as just an energy source. Yes, I would say it's the dominant thing it does. But when we see if we're going to go into a calorie surplus, we'll talk about it in a sec, how important carbohydrates can be in that circumstance. The early 2000s, still to a certain extent now, carbohydrates are still demonized. The insulin hypothesis of obesity was one of the major things that compounded that problem. But it's also muscle sparing and protein sparing. So when we eat carbohydrates, we tend not to rely on protein as much as we would want. And protein can do all those other things that we spoke about, right? We've heard the saying, and this is where like people will get a little bit bogged down in carbohydrate and maybe how unimportant it might be. You'll hear the saying, there's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate. And that's true, right? But that's because glucose is so important for the body that the body will actually make its own from other substrates. So it'll make it from not directly from fat, but it'll make it from the glycerol backbone. It can make it from protein, and it can take it from other sources and actually create glucose. That's how important it is to the body. There's a lot of hormones in the body to regulate glucose in the bloodstream. So especially when we're in a surplus, if the goal is muscle growth, don't neglect carbohydrates in that circumstance. All right. So when we go into an energy surplus, and we'll talk about what that is in a little bit more detail in a second, but basically thinking about giving your body more food than it actually needs to maintain its current body weight. When you go into a surplus, you can go into that surplus with protein, you can go into it with carbohydrates, you can go into it with fat. When we look at protein, for example, it tends to be the most consistent whether you're in a calorie deficit or a calorie surplus. It doesn't necessarily need to change dramatically. Surprisingly, unless you're going into a really big calorie deficit. So if you're trying to lose a lot of weight really quickly, then actually protein requirement goes up. So the lower your calories go, the more protein you tend to need in order to maintain the muscle mass that you have. Whereas when you go into a surplus, adding more and more protein, there seems to be a law of diminishing returns there. So if we start increasing it from 1 gram per pound and we start to go to 3 and 4, it doesn't seem to indicate that you'll get more muscle. Okay. So, but with carbohydrate is surprisingly hard to store as fat. So if you're in a surplus and you're 300 calories, 500 calories, 1,000 calories over what you need, and some of that gets put into muscle, some of it gets put into glycogen, some of the protein gets put into muscle, some of the carbohydrate gets stored as glycogen. The excess, if it's in carbohydrate, is very difficult to convert into fat. It's called de novo lipogenesis. It's a very energy expensive process. So normally when we eat excess or a little bit more in terms of carbohydrate, it doesn't get stored as fat in the same way as fat does. Fat gets put into fat cells like that. It doesn't need anything to happen to it. It just fits straight in. So when we're increasing our calories in order to try and gain muscle, carbohydrate seems to be the biggest variable there. Not protein, not necessarily fat. Fat, we need a certain amount to maintain the stuff that we spoke about, hormone status, all those really cool things. But it doesn't seem to do anything more beneficial for us if we go over a certain threshold as well. It's important to remember all that. So don't fear carbohydrate when you're going to try to put on muscle mass. And we'll talk about like finding your maintenance and all those things. It's a good question. So before I continue with that, any of you guys actually know what your maintenance calories are? Have you ever tried to find them, or have you ever done the equation online to find out where your maintenance calories should be?
Yes, I have.
I know you have. You've figured out everything. But in fairness, your maintenance calories doesn't actually fit for you, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you'll find that like you can find an equation online to figure out what your maintenance calories is based off your weight, your height, your age, and your sex. However, it doesn't always match perfectly. It's based off averages. So with Lewis, for example, his maintenance that he would find online would actually have him accumulate body fat, or muscle, depending on what the stimulus was. Does anyone else know what theirs is? It can be an important thing for you guys to figure out. So to know how much calories you need to maintain your body weight, there's loads of equations online which will give you a good average, but knowing what maintains your body weight is important because when you decide to increase calories from there, you know how much to increase by initially. Okay? Let me continue. So now that you know what like a lot of these macronutrients do, man. You can start to think a little bit more about how they should be distributed. Now, like we talked about, what's the most important? We know that protein's probably the most important to actually increase, to lay down the material that's needed to add muscle. But I think that if you're going to look at the other macronutrients in terms of carbs and fat, when I tell people to go into a deficit, certain amount of fat, I should say, not far. When I tell people to go into a calorie deficit, I'll give them a protein target and a calorie target. For fats and carbs, it's normally just what they prefer. However, when I put clients into a surplus, I try to give them extra carbohydrates rather than fat. Most of the time, it doesn't work for everybody. Some people don't respond well to higher carbohydrate diets, whether it bloats them, whether it gives them fatigue, lots of different things. But for the average person, I find that higher carbohydrates tends to allow clients to stay in surpluses for longer without having to accumulate too much body fat. Okay. Now, and this is interesting because we touched on the fact that calorie deficit is very much an energy balance thing, right? So you remove calories, generally you'll lose body fat. Whether it's slightly different for muscle growth. Muscle growth is signaling. It's signaling to the body, like, and giving it a stimulus in order to asking it or forcing it, whichever way you want to look at it, for it to grow. And that stimulus can be a few things. It can be food, so it can be leucine, the amino acid from protein, or it can be stimulus by actually you lifting weights, right? There are different stimulus that tell the body to grow. But you don't actually always have to be in a surplus because of that. Now, muscle needs two things. It needs the substrates for growth, like protein, and it needs energy. But if you're new to training, the stimulus of training is so novel to the body that normally, even as you drop body fat, you will accrue muscle. It is newbie gains. It is the best part of of your training. Where you can gain significant amounts of muscle quickly and lose body fat. But also, are you trying to put on muscle? So even if you're 20% body fat and your goal is to put on muscle and you're slightly longer in weightlifting, you've been doing it for a few years, your body fat is normally enough energy in order to put on muscle. So you don't need necessarily to go into surpluses or at least big surpluses. Small deficits in that kind of circumstance normally allow people who have a little bit of extra body fat to gain muscle at the same time as losing, or to gain muscle at the same time as losing body fat. Okay. So there is nuance to this a little bit. Like, do you need loads and loads of calories to put on muscle? No, you don't. Anybody here regard themselves and put it in the chat, regard themselves as hard gainers, so people that need excessive amounts of food in order to gain muscle mass or put on weight. Put it in the chat if you're one of those people. Thompson, yeah. Paul, okay. Des. So hard gainers are you're tricky creatures. And the reason why I say that is you burn energy so much more efficiently than the vast majority of the population. And that's why you're in the position that you tend to be. So a lot of the time with hard gainers, they need to go into what you would call like excessive, I guess, caloric surpluses in order to start to gain weight. It's because your adaptive thermogenesis or your adaption to caloric intake is quite drastic. So if you found out, Thompson, that your maintenance calories were 3,000, right? You could go to 3,500 and your body just adapts to that newish norm and doesn't gain weight. So a lot of the time, these people like you guys have to put on or eat an excessive amounts of food in order to gain weight. I love using like Dan as an example, Dan, the coach, like literally having to eat 6 and 7,000 calories in order to accrue like the smallest bit of muscle, right? People look at them and they'll be like, well, aren't you so lucky? Not necessarily, right? If the goal is muscle gain, it becomes harder. And then when you look at like other people who need to be in surpluses, how fast do you want the muscle gain? Like, are you willing to play the really long game, or do you want to push it, accrue muscle and accrue fat at the same time, and then cut the fat at the end, right? And that's where you get into like bulk and cutting cycles. Okay. In advanced lifters, that tends to be the most appropriate way. So, do you need to be in a surplus? No. Is it if you're lean and you're long time training, you probably need to be. So, this leads me on to the next question. Do you need to be lean in order to bulk? No, right? So there used to be this idea that you need to be 10%, 12%, or whatever in order to go into a surplus and increase muscle mass. It doesn't really seem to be the case. People at 20%, 25% body fat can accrue the same amount of muscle, right? However, it just comes down to aesthetics. So most people or men, right? Women generally below 18% body fat, but men feel their best somewhere between 10 and 13% in terms of aesthetically at a vanity level. So you need a lot of guys will want this buffer to be able to move up from 10% to 15%, still have abs, and use that time to gain as much muscle mass as possible, cut the weight back off, and then push again. The issue that I tend to see with a lot of people is, first of all, they never get to that stage of aesthetics where they're really happy. So they don't diet long in order to get to whatever that looks like for them, 10%, 12% body fat, right? Also, once they get there, they're not willing to accumulate any body fat. So then muscle gain becomes this really long, drawn out process. So I think when we look at bulking, you have to accept that there will be a certain amount of fat gain, and not to be afraid of it. It shouldn't be excessive. And we'll talk about how much weight we should be accumulating on average every week when we're trying to put on muscle mass. Like, this doesn't take into account program design and the importance of like what muscles you're trying to grow. This is just speaking in generalities. Now, does meal timing matter with muscle gain? Much more so than it does with fat loss. The body, when we're in a deficit, is really, really sensitive to picking up nutrients wherever it gets it. So, like, you find people that can lose an excessive amount of body fat. Yeah, Lewis, right? So that gives you the buffer to be able to go up to 12%, 13%, 14%, whatever that looks like, and then just cut the weight off and go again. Ooh, lost my train of thought. Yeah, so when you're in a caloric deficit, if someone says to me, I like to eat twice a day, as long as they're hitting their protein target, I generally don't care. When we're looking at surpluses and muscle growth, it tends to become much more important. So eating and spacing out meals a certain amount of times throughout the day seems to be much more beneficial. Now, it doesn't have to be 6 meals. 6 meals seems excessive to me. It was just the number that was bandied around for long periods of time based off eating every 3 hours or so. 4 meals seems to be enough to stimulate what's called like muscle protein synthesis, right? But in those four meals, you need 30 to 40 grams minimum of protein, a good source of protein, in order to spike muscle protein synthesis. Because you want, like with everything, you want ebbs and flows throughout the day. Now, the problem that you tend to run into, because you'll hear Ben speak about this, he may not use this term, but it's generally what he's speaking about. Chrononutrition is very much becoming a recognized approach to health. So chrononutrition is eating based off circadian rhythms. So that internal clock that you have that tells you to go to sleep, to wake up, like it's interesting. Like you normally poop at the same time of the day, you wake up at the same time of the day, you feel hungry at certain stages throughout the day. That's internal signals based off our 24-hour clock that we have inside us. It's based around light as well, right? But it seems to be important that we eat the vast majority of our calories earlier in the day. And the reason why that is because we tend to be more sensitive insulin-wise, and we tend to have better digestive capabilities earlier in the day. Now, this becomes difficult when you're trying to eat an excessive amount of calories. So I've got a client at the moment, he's trying to eat 4,500 calories a day, very busy man. And he's finding himself eating late at night just to hit his calories. And he'll say to me, like, what's more important here? And some guys with good health and energy production problems. I'll speak to that in a minute. So yeah, don't let me forget that. Oh, I put that in twice. Apologies. So in that circumstance with him, I just want him to eat the calories. Now, I'll try and get him, and we're trying to figure out ways to get more food in earlier on in the day. But the problem with eating late at night as well is it affects sleep. And we're not touching on sleep here and its importance for muscle growth, because it's actually where the most of the recovery happens. But you need to get in a certain amount of food in order to force that growth. And then, like, you guys have probably all heard about this at some stage, like the anabolic window. And I started lifting weights 16, 17. So that's fucking hell, 20 years ago. And this was always what was spoken about. Like, you were basically finishing your last bicep curl and drinking your protein shake at the same time because you had this anabolic window where, like, you lifted weights and you needed nutrients. Doesn't seem to be the case, right? It seems to be somewhere within 2 hours post training seems to be really beneficial. Okay. So you need to replenish nutrients within a certain amount of time. In fact, it seems that eating carbohydrates, because we used to always try to eat carbohydrates after we trained because we had used glycogen. If we train really hard, we are slightly inflamed after we train, and muscle cells don't absorb carbohydrate or glucose well in those kind of circumstances. So it may not be the most beneficial to go just plowing food immediately after you train. And also, digestion slightly compromised afterwards. Now, you can use whey protein and stuff like that, of course, which is pre-digested for the most part. Now that we've got an idea, like, of why and when we should be in a surplus, we'll talk about how much that should be in a second. And we know that we should be eating four times a day. We know we should be emphasizing protein, probably the surplus being from carbohydrates for most people. Outside of the standard stuff, right? We know anabolics increase muscle mass. Obviously, they're not a supplement. We know there's some peptides out there now, and I will do a call solely on peptides. I get so many questions about them, whether to use them for fat loss, muscle gain, longevity, all these other things. They're really cool, they're really expensive, but they can have a lot of really cool benefits. And I will do a whole presentation on just peptides eventually. But when we look at supplementation for muscle growth, there's not much. Genuinely, there's not much. Creatine seems to do it, right? So, and it's not going to be excessive, but creatine allows us to output a little bit more. Same with beta-alanine. And 5 grams a day seems to increase muscle mass by about 0.5 pound to 1 pound a year, possibly in newer athletes. Would that do it for you guys who've been doing it for 10 years? Maybe. Okay. Beta-alanine at 3 to 6 grams. I don't know. Have any of you guys ever taken 6 grams of beta-alanine? Like, it's the stuff in pre-workout that makes you scratch. I've never taken 6 grams of it. I really wouldn't want to try. Good question, Jason. With creatine, it doesn't really seem to matter because you'll get to the stage where you take 5 grams for an extended period of time. You can do preloading, like where you do, I can't remember what it is. Is it like 20 grams for 5 days or whatever it is? But like if you've been taking 5 grams for an extended period of time, you're at saturation point anyway. So if you replenish it at any stage, it seems to be fine. Like some people like it for ease because it reminds them to take it around workouts, but it doesn't seem to matter too much. And then vitamin D, if deficient, which a lot of people are, right? I look at a lot of blood tests, and vitamin D is quite deficient in a lot of people. So it could be something that you guys look at if you're worried about muscle mass. But again, it's not going to be excessive amounts. Now, adding it all together, this is where people get a little bit, not upset, not the right word, right? But let's go through the first couple of points and then I'll get to the point that might upset you. Finding maintenance calories is important, I think, for a lot of people. Most people don't know what that is. It's important to remember as well, when you look at the obesity crisis, right? So we have a lot of people who are overweight. Most people don't actually have a weight loss problem. So what I mean by that is like the vast majority of people who become obese or overweight will lose a certain amount of weight at some stage in their life. The vast majority of them put it back on. So we don't seem to have a weight loss problem, but we definitely have a weight maintenance problem. So most people are either like trying to lose weight or they're just gaining fat, right? Because most people don't know where their average sits. So finding what your maintenance can be really important for a lot of different things. And then you'll normally try to increase by about 300 to 500 calories and assess. So if you're going 300, because if you go 100 calories, 200 calories above your maintenance, nothing really happens. The body will adapt to that. So it seems to be 300 to 500 calories to begin with. Some of you guys might have to go further than that, like the hard gainers. But genuinely, guys, if you've been doing this for a long time, you're looking at 0.2% of your body weight a week increases in weight. Like, that's not much. People think about putting on these mass amounts of muscle in a year. If you're new, you can put on a lot. If you're using anabolics, you can put on a lot. If you're a genetic freak, yeah, you can put on a lot. But for most of us normies, we don't realize that if we're starting to put on like 2 pounds a week of body weight, depending on like our body weight initially, but like a lot of that's going to come in body fat. And that's okay, but it means that if you want to be lean, you're going to have to spend way more time the other end cutting that weight off to be able to try and gain muscle mass again. Most people never get through two and three phases of muscle growth, muscle loss, muscle growth, muscle loss. So it's why they don't put significant amount of muscle mass on in their lifetime. This is a multi-phased approach. It takes time. And then you can look at like, protein, 1 gram per pound, fat, 30 to 40 grams. For most people, there is an equation for that. I can't remember off the top of my head. Minimum, right? So you need a certain amount. And then maybe it's the resting carbs, depending on how you respond to it. Probably 4 meals a day. Early load, if possible, 40 grams of protein per meal. Analyze results and increase or decrease where necessary. That's important, man. Like if you add extra calories and you're consistent with it and you don't add weight, you have to keep tipping that scale forward. You have to increase it by another 100, another 200, whatever it may be, until you find that tipping point. And the amount of times you spend in a surplus is going to be based on when it stops working. Right? If you're still gaining muscle mass in 3 and 4 months and you're not accumulating much fat, just keep going. Eventually, you'll start to accumulate more fat than muscle and you'll be like, right, this isn't worth it anymore. Cut. Right? Supplements might be helpful and obviously lift weights. You have to lift weights throughout this process. I didn't talk about that here because like we all know that. But I think the most surprising thing that people find is actually the amount of muscle that they can accrue over time. You can't force it. It's not like fat loss where you can just do, like I've done them, like 800 calorie diets of just fucking white meat. And like I'll lose a pound a day of, you know, a lot of water to begin with, but I'll lose fat really fast. You can't force it the other way. All right. Let's stop for questions, gentlemen. There was one there from Des. That's an interesting one, Des, right? And Ben actually put something up on, I believe it was his page, not our group for clients, where he talked about this as well, because our ability to be able to absorb nutrients is obviously really, really important. So, like, if you've got a wrecked gut and you're not absorbing protein effectively, whether you're like, you know, low stomach acid, low digestive enzymes, any of those things, and you're not absorbing well, it's going to affect your ability to be able to build muscle. Another thing that's important there, like, if your gut's not in a good place, then you're going to have low grade inflammation anyway. So if you've got low grade inflammation, consistently you're going to struggle to put on muscle mass at the same time. I don't like it's important to remember, guys, if the body perceives you as sick, and like low grade inflammation is that to a certain extent, right? Depending on the level of it. But if it perceives you as sick, it's not going to lay down something that's going to be really metabolically demanding. It's not going to think about that far in the future for you. It's going to preserve what you have and try to deal with the problem at hand. So yeah, looking at the health problem initially can save you a lot of heartache and time down the line. I hope that helps. Right. Has anybody else got any questions? About it can be about anything. It doesn't necessarily be about nutrition and muscle growth. It can be whatever you want to go through today as well.
Got a quick question. What would you say the protocol would be for, you mentioned like a full cycle, like if you were at the body fat you wanted, you did a gain, a bulk, and then a subsequent like cut back to kind of where you were body fat percentage wise. What's an ideal like length of that cycle?
So what I would normally create some sort of buffer initially, right? So like if the target is 6, 7 pounds of weight gain, right, within a process, I would normally try and work out how much weight you need to gain every single week in order to achieve that goal based off those percentages that I mentioned. So whether that's like, you know, 0.2 to 0.4% of body weight a week. And that can run for like the bulking phase can run for as long as it's still working. So like if you're adding 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds of muscle and you're still lean, I would just keep pushing it for as long as I can get away with it, genuinely. And or if I hit that buffer mark. So if I got to the stage where you were like, you know, Greg, I'm starting to feel a little bit fluffy again, I'm not enjoying this anymore, then I'd look at the cut. Now, the cut would be based around how aggressive you're willing to go. So people who are skilled with dieting, and they're happy to go aggressive, I will try and make that cut as small as quick as I can, so I can get them back into a surplus if muscle growth is the real goal. So within reason, right? Like I'm not going to put people on like 800 calorie diets, but like if you were comfortable and you're like, dude, I can do 1600 calories, that'll get a pound off me a week. We have to lose 6 pounds. Great. Easy. 6 pounds, let's go. Get it done as fast as we can. Because then I can just flip the switch and go back the other way again. Jason, is there a test to determine your nutrient absorption? Not necessarily. Now, you can check nutrient status. So something like a organic acid test is pretty good at that, or a Nutrival by Genova Diagnostics does one as well. That's a little bit more advanced than that. And it can be really, they can be cool at telling you where you stand in terms of where all your nutrients are. Now, do they tell you absorption? Not necessarily, because it doesn't tell you how much of that nutrient you're actually taking in, right? So I've never looked into it, but I suppose you could try and use something like chronometer to figure out how much of each nutrient you're taking it in, and then look at how it comes out on something like a organic acid test. It would be hard, but you know, it could be beneficial. But if you're worried about nutrient status, obviously you can look at stuff like anemias, like nutrient anemias. So like if you're iron deficient, B12 deficient, that's standard blood work, and that can be helpful as well. What does performance blood work reveal? Elaborate on that for me slightly, like in terms of what?
Me and Andrew talked about getting my blood done. I think he was in touch with you about that. And you sent the high performance blood work test, and I wasn't sure like what information would you be given from that, basically.
Not much based around muscle growth potential. Well, like, you know, in an inadvertent way, it does, right? Because something like standard blood work will give me a really good idea of where your immune system's sitting right now. It would give me a really good idea of like a complete like a CBC, a complete blood count. So where's your hemoglobin, hematocrit, red blood cell count? All that stuff will determine how much energy you have. So whether you're like anemic or anything like that. And then it will give me liver, kidney function, thyroid function, testosterone function. So it does give you information, right? Because it'll tell us if there's low grade inflammation. It'll tell us if you've got like low testosterone, which obviously can affect muscle growth. But it's not directly telling us those things. It's an overall health check, I guess, is probably the best way to look at it.
Cool, thanks.
No worries. Anybody else want anything they want to talk about? Doesn't necessarily have to be based around this subject, if anything just comes to mind.
I have another question. What when it comes to like cardio, is there certain types and durations that would be work against you when trying to put on muscle?
Yeah, really good question, right? And it's something that comes up a lot. Like, should I do cardio when I'm trying to put on muscle mass? I would say some isn't a problem. So it wouldn't be my emphasis though, right? So like if you were like, look, I really like doing a half an hour on the bike 3 times a week, I'd be like, yeah, no problem. You just gotta account for that with your calorie intake. So you might have to eat a little bit more if we're still trying to achieve a certain amount of weight gain. I would probably be looking to avoid some of the higher intensity stuff. And the only reason why I say that is because that will actually take away from your weight lifting. Now, a little bit of it isn't going to be a problem, but if you're doing excessive amounts of high intensity, like interval training, or if you're doing a lot of, which isn't actually high intensity, but if you're doing a lot of interval work in general, it eventually will take away from your ability to be able to output in your weightlifting sessions. So that would concern me eventually. So as long as it's not excessive amounts, and as long as it's not like too often, yeah. Really good question. So Mohammed put down any difference between volume and intensity training in regards to muscle gain. This is a really good one, right? And there's still dispute out there over what's more important for muscle growth. Just to clarify, volume you can generally think of sets and reps. So like how much work are you actually doing? Intensity is the how close you are to getting to your one rep max. So intensity would be like, you know, 3 reps of true 3 reps is really intense. Now, the research seems to indicate that intensity, weight on the bar, is the biggest determinant of muscle growth, right? What volume tends to do, especially when it becomes excessive, is all it does is muscle damage and means that it takes you longer to recover from sessions. So I would, in my humble opinion, intensity is by far the most important component of muscle growth. So what that means is for most of you guys is getting stronger. So what you'll see with a lot of people is when they start doing excessive amounts of sets, excessive amounts of reps for like certain muscle groups, they notice they begin to get weaker because they can't actually recover from session to session. So like I do it a lot with my clients now is like top set work seems to be really effective for muscle growth. So like, you know, taking somebody whatever the machine looks like, say it's a chest press and you're doing three sets of eight, like working up to a set and using that set to like go as hard as you can and work with really high intensity seems to be the most effective way. And it's not a question that Muhammad asked, but rest periods are actually quite important. Your ability to be able to repeat the same effort again is important. The old idea that like you should be working below that is kind of being disproven. So like really short rest periods doesn't seem to be really effective for muscle growth. Like giving yourself enough time to recover and repeat the same effort again is really important. So take more rest, Muhammad, basically. Don't worry. That's within reason, right? But it seems to be the most effective way. So, like, if I was to look at a client, it's very rare. If I need to manipulate something, it's very rare that I will just add volume to try and make someone grow more.
Greg, I have a question on rest.
Go ahead.
Okay, so as you know, in a way, I don't take a rest day. I two rest days, I do abs. And my idea is since I'm doing abs and I'm not working the other muscles, that should be okay, correct?
Yeah, normally, right? Like I don't mind people taking like just one full rest day. I think it can be beneficial, but when you look at something like abs, although abs do work on the other days, right? It's important to remember that when you're bracing and you're doing exercise, you're working abs. But abs, because most of the time you're working them in the shortened position, so you're crunching and stuff like that doesn't do much muscle damage. Most muscle damage comes from the lengthening position. So like the bottom of a Romanian deadlift, that does a lot of muscle damage. But shortening muscles doesn't. And abs technically are a smaller muscle, so they recover much quicker. So yeah, it's probably not affecting you too much, if any. And a lot of the time you have to look at, and it's actually like we did an internship with, oh, his name escapes me. Anyway, and he mentioned that like people, although like I used to do it sometimes, right? I used to be like, no, you have to do this exercise. I do it to you sometimes, Lewis, in fairness. Like you hate hip thrusts, but sometimes I have to find so like a glute exercise to give you. But the exercises that people enjoy, because of what it does neurochemically to you, actually makes you output more. So, like giving people what they enjoy, as long as it's hitting the muscle group that you're targeting, seems to be more beneficial for muscle growth. So, giving people a bunch of crap that they don't like, because you think it's good, doesn't tend to work. So we have to enjoy our workouts. It's why sometimes like I'll say to people, like, there's nothing we have to put in here. So if there's an exercise that, unless it's an injury recovery thing, like if they're like, I literally dread, like because I'm all legs, right? I'm 6'4", I'm all legs. And when the people used to program for me, and I used to like pay coaches and they'd be like, I want you to do three sets of 10 on back squat. Like if it was Monday and I had to do that on Thursday, I would dread it all week. But eventually, I just gave myself the relief of going, you don't have to back squat to grow your quad. So I just stopped doing it. And now I love doing legs again. Anybody else? We good? All right. All right, gents. Have a lovely rest of your Wednesday, and I'll see you all soon. Don't forget to reach out to Sarah if you're interested in heading to Tampa. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.